What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom and Lotus, and we've been talking more about potential Elder Scrolls 6 stuff, and our conversations about that over the last few weeks have gotten a lot of feedback, especially comments about sword singing and different people's perspectives on our patron chat last week about all the different ways that sword singing might actually be used in Elder Scrolls 6. So Lotus and I are going to respond to your comments, because some of you brought up things that we haven't considered yet that we thought were worth addressing. Some of you have different perspectives on what the lore means and how that will work. And then some people are kind of building off of other ideas that we already had. And so we thought it'd be a lot of fun to comment about this stuff. What do you think, Lotus?
Yeah,
good times.
I actually love the fact that you brought this up, because I kind of hadn't been following it, as I tend not to do occasionally. But you're like, yeah, look at the amount of feedback we've had on this. And it's like, oh wow, that's a lot of like comments on various things, whether it's comments to the Spotify things, comments on YouTube, just Discord messages, stuff like that. So I'm glad that this has inspired so many people to be involved with chatting about this. So again, to your point, I love some of the stuff that we hadn't even considered or thought about, so we can get it all included. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, so to start us off, just to set some, expectations for the conversation. First of all, if we are bringing up your points and we are contesting the idea and saying, well, maybe it's more like this, or I don't necessarily agree with that, or whatever, please don't take that personally. This is a playground of ideas, and Lotus and I try to do, we do speculate about crazy things sometimes, but we try to ground it all in the evidence of the lore and what the books and the actual games have shown and done. And so, and again, we're not necessarily experts. We don't know everything. We could miss some stuff. So please don't take any critique or counter ideas as personal. This is not a personal thing. It's a playground of ideas where we just toss them in there and we see what's going to happen. Similarly, if we espouse a specific possibility, that doesn't mean that we necessarily hope that that will be the case. It just means that it could potentially be the case, and we have some reasons for thinking maybe it is. So again, these things are not personal. It's just a playground of ideas. So I know the internet isn't necessarily the most nuanced place for conversations, but we're trying to keep things kind of above board, and also we don't want to insult anybody. If your idea doesn't line up with something that we think, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. We just have different opinions. That's totally fine. So, yeah,
and it's why I actually don't mind when people also do the same thing back. Like, a lot of times I'm asked, like, yeah, if I got this wrong, you can just send me the correction, because I got nothing. Like, I don't know.
Right.
So, yeah, it's one of those things. Don't be too worried. It's not anything personal if we do disagree with you or whatnot. That's kind of just how you work your way through these.
Right. And everybody has their own headcanon about the things, and everybody has certain things they enjoy more about other things and things that they hope to be true. And we try to ground ourselves as much as we can in the precedent of the previous games and in the lore, and also balancing ideas around the what it would be like to be part of a studio and have to balance all of these expectations and all these different perspectives all at the same time. So we tried to take all of that into consideration just to throw out all the potential ideas and to see where things go. So with that said, Lotus, you ready to get into this? I've got a bunch of, I've got little clips I'm going to put up on the screen of just some of the comments. Some of these are from YouTube. Some of them are from Discord. And here, let's pull the first one up. This one is from Kudis1. This is 3 days ago. People are responding to that last video. I hope they don't implement this mechanic as a replacement for shouts. I don't want my pure mage to be forced to use swords just because it's the game's main gimmick. I could see sword singing being a part of the narrative. There could be some character or a boss that uses it, but I hope it won't be forced on the player. So Kudis in this is kind of playing into that idea of, well, maybe this isn't, hopefully this isn't a thing that you have to use. This isn't specifically the special power you get for your character, because will that force you to use a weapon when you don't even want to be a character that uses a weapon? What do you think?
Right. And I think that's kind of a thing that they've been utilizing as, like, I don't know. It does seem like something that they're considering going forward, because shouts really outside a couple very specific scenarios were not necessary.
That's true. Like you could do a build in Skyrim and almost never use shouts except for some very specific necessary things.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably going to be the case with whatever Sword Singing is, regardless of if we're totally off base or if it's actually correct. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there, some things are a little more focused in some of the new games and less open. Other things, I feel like they definitely do not want to restrict people too much in, like, oh, you have to do this type of deal. So
right.
I would be surprised if they make you use it on a contingent of like, yep, nope, this is just going to totally need to be part of your repertoire.
Well, another element here might be the idea that sword singing doesn't mean that you actually wield a sword with your hands. It could mean the summoning of a weapon, like we discussed in the previous episode, that is a magical weapon that floats or does damage or manifests in different ways.
Certainly.
And doesn't make you have to do melee combat. It just becomes... It's a kind of a broader perspective of summoning something from your soul that's magical that then helps you fight. And how you manifest that may be down to your character and your build and other things that, you know, maybe a mage could completely use that in mage-like ways that never mean that they ever have to swing a sword with their own body.
Right, exactly.
So there are some ways that you could, like, handle that differently and doesn't force you into a melee kind of build. But this idea that there could be some other character or boss that uses it, I think that would be really cool too. I mean, that's something we see in Skyrim. Other characters shout at you. Other characters can use the shouts. Other characters are sometimes really powerful with them. And some of them are, you know, like the Greybeards, they know how to use them, but they aren't necessarily dragonborn and aren't as powerful in the shouts. Right. In fact, they're so surprised that you're able to do it so quickly and so fast. So,
and the Draugr Deathlords are real frustrating well when they just blow the weapon out of your hand ad nauseum on higher difficulty.
Right. Yeah. So, I could see this manifest in other ways as well. We also discussed how in a game like Oblivion, it's fun because you are not the Chosen One. You are there to support the Chosen One. So they could have some sort of quest line where you aren't the Sword Singer, but there is a Sword Singer that you are in support of. That could happen as well.
Also true.
So lots of different potential here, different possibilities. Again, we're just kind of going over just what are the possibilities and how will this manifest? And from a personal standpoint, I'm not as worried about the lore playing out in any specific way than I am about the game being engaging and fun and interesting and dropping new information and new lore that still, you know, works with the old stuff, but fleshes things out. You know, like that's more interesting to me than saying, well, this is my specific understanding of the lore and it has to be like this.
Yeah, I mean, each game kind of expands upon what we know of and have access to anyways, so it seems odd that they would not continue that trend, because we didn't know about the Grey March until we got the situation that involved us in the Grey March. Stuff like that. Like,
right.
Until we played right. that in the Oblivion expansion, we didn't know about any of that.
I mean, so heck, it seems just going back to shouts, the information about shouts. Dragonborn had been in the series and were a thing that people talked about, the line of emperors, all of that. But the Thum, how much did we even know about the Thum before Skyrim came out?
Right, exactly.
Like, not much. So, yeah.
Way less.
All right, on to the next one. Let me get this set up here on the screen. I'm going to drag this one up a little bit. So people actually, we'll just take the first half of this first. This was the second post of Color1246 in chat, who was explaining some things in the lore. And I think they later maybe realized that we did actually cover that later in the video. I mean, it's a long video. So, you know, sometimes something pops up and you're like, well, you guys should cover this. And then it's like, oh, okay, they brought it up later. Anyway, so I'll skip that part. And they say, personally, I've always seen the singing part as referring to sword singing as an art form, not actual singing. So this is very different from the previous comment about how they don't want it to be a martial arts thing, a wielding of weapons. They want it to be more either not something you have to do or something that's magical and diverse. Mm-hmm. But this person's like, well, no, sword singing is like the, you know, when you swing your sword and it sings because you're so good at it. It's a martial art. That said, love the conversation. I think you guys deserve more views. Well, we appreciate that. That would be wonderful. What do you think about that? I mean, it does make sense that you could interpret this. Again, you can interpret this so many different ways. Sword singing, like the documents that we read a few episodes ago about Divad and the summoning of the lights using his soul in the tent. Remember all of that? That yep. could be part of it. Maybe there is some sort of magical element to this, but the actual sword singing itself is less about words coming out of your mouth and more about being just an amazing swordsman, and you're seeing your sword cutting through the air and whistling and those kinds of things.
Right. Which I kind of like that idea. I think there's a good chance that is something they might lean into. Because again, that is very true. That's open to interpretation. A lot of times when somebody says something, it's a name for something, but they don't mean it literally.
Right.
I could totally see that being like, yeah, no, we don't literally mean sword singing. The analogy that he gives, when you swing a sword, when you cut air with a sword, a lot of times it will literally like make a sound. So
yes. That's and then swords, just, historically, some swords have been designed to make more sounds or to jingle or to whistle. And that isn't something that doesn't have historical precedence.
It's
rare.
It is. Right. Ironically, there's also for anyone who lives in New England, there is actually a beach. It's a New England beach in Massachusetts, I believe. And it's actually called Singing Sands Beach. Mm-hmm. And now if you take that literally based on what we're just talking about, the beach is not singing to us. However, the sand is so fine. When you walk on it, it actually squeaks because it's so that's right. wet. So
it makes sense.
Exactly to this person's point.
Yeah.
It can be a name based on something, not necessarily it has to be singing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Weather Dragon in chat just commented with this. I just always took singing as non-literal. Singing is a way to guide your voice. Sword singing is a way to guide your soul.
Sure.
That could be an interpretation as well.
Absolutely.
And we've mentioned this multiple times. The lore is vague enough that it leaves a lot of wiggle room for how this could play out and how they decide to solidify this. We've also mentioned, in going back and looking at Daggerfall and Morrowind and the games in between and everything else, that oftentimes it appears as if they've already done some work on the inside to define how this stuff would potentially work. And it may have been solidified 25, 29 years ago that this is what sword singing means. We're just not going to reveal that much about it until we have a game that features it. So it may not even be them, you know, in the last 7 years deciding, okay, this is how we're going to make this work, so much as implementing an idea that was already kind of banked, already stuck in a notebook, you know, 20 some years ago.
They just haven't actually explored it yet in the series.
Right, right. And that seems like that is true. It seems like there's a little bit of both. You get a little bit of one, a little bit the other. But again, we don't really know. So that one's fun. There's a response by Orc MCC who says, color 1246, I can see it as being retconned to be more like shouts, like calling it shouting is really underplaying what I can do. So I can see them doing a similar thing here, making it more precise melodic form of shouting where you sing your sword into existence. We talked about how there's a lot of different tonal types of magic, like vocal and sound magic, the tonal magic of the Dwemer, things like that. So this would be something a little bit along those lines. The sword here could be a flaming arrow that explodes or illusion of some kind, but it requires a lot of dedicated practice and training, the kind you would only see from warrior monks, EI, I think it's supposed to be IE, the Yukudin equivalent of the Greybeards. So he hits on a few different things that we hit on in the previous conversation, the idea that maybe the summoning something from your soul, the singing manifests in different ways depending on the individual and the things they're trained to be able to do with that. So that matches up with what some of our patrons were talking about.
Yep, for sure.
But then there's a second piece here about the idea that like you would have to train like a warrior monk in order to do this. And this plays similarly into the Thum. The Thum is not only a dragonborn thing, although dragonborn are better at it. They're more naturally able to learn and to do it. It's also not just a Nordic thing. It seems to be the kind of thing that anyone can learn to do with enough training. And I feel like this may play into the Elder Scrolls 6 as well, although sword singing comes from the Redguard and Yukudin background and culture, it probably won't be gated as like a racial thing so much as something that anyone who trains, who understands the secrets of this, can do. It feels to me, Lotus, very different than something like if you were to say all of a sudden there's a Nord who has a deep connection to the Hist. That doesn't make any sense, because there's a biological connection with Argonians in the Hist that doesn't happen with any other race.
Right.
But this isn't like that. This is a cultural connection, and you can learn things from other cultures.
Yeah, I could definitely see them, finding a way to explain why anybody's capable of doing sword singing, because, again, these games, with the exception of The Elder Scrolls Adventures Redguard, which is not an RPG, it's an action, or it's a, like,
It's an adventure game. It's an adventure game of the late 90s style.
Yes, it's basically just a Tomb Raider ripoff. That you have a designated character who you play, and he's a red guard. That's your option. All of the other games, even though the amount of races you have available might change, you pick your character. So like, they find a way to make it work. And the one that, you know, we talked about, like, with the shouts, you don't have to be a Nord. The big one that I had was the fact that if anyone can be the Nerevarian, so like you're the reincarnation of this and you don't have to be a Dunmer, it's kind of hard to think that they would restrict you in for being just a Redguard related to this, if this is the case.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if Morrowind were to come out today and hadn't been made before, if people would be up in arms about it. They'd be like, well, it doesn't make sense. You're the reincarnation of this person. How can you be a Khajiit? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. So yeah, that's just it. It's just like the precedent says that's not how they do these things. So I would find that shocking if you actually had to be a red guard. That would seem very strange.
Yes, I don't think they want to, from a game, and this is the whole balancing thing, from a gameplay perspective, and like you said, the history of the mainline games, they give you the option to roleplay whoever you want, and it fits the scenario. I also think that there isn't any reason in the lore to think that the Ansai, the sword singing, the ability to sword sing is something that is racially limited. It comes from a specific culture, but it doesn't, and there's nothing about it that says it has to be racially limited. Maybe it has to do with worshiping their specific gods. That might be a thing, but you could be a Khajiit who worships that god and then gains that power through training and whatever. Like,
right.
I don't see why that would be a limitation. Interesting points here. Let's move on to the next one. This one says, this is from Sir Scooter 3. I'm thinking something like a spirit sword you always have with you that you find different ways to level up and augment, but it will be your unique soul sword, almost like a bound sword, but from your soul, with different ways to craft it and mold it. What do you think about this one?
That's kind of interesting. So like the mechanic would be more of like, based on that, if I'm understanding correctly, the mechanic would be more of like your weapon companion, for lack of a better word, and that's kind of what you mold throughout the game. That's interesting. That's not something I had considered.
Almost like you had like a separate skill line that as you level up, you then also improve your summoned sword buddy.
Right. And based on like
or what just they weapon give or whatever.
Sure, but based on what they give you options, like, oh, do you want to make it like a physical sword? Do you want to make it like an incarnation of energy or something like that, so that you can use it in a magic sense.
A magical blade that you just sling at your enemies, just like tossing a fireball or, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, because then you could also, based on how they do it, possibly have multiple different ways of, you know, having that open up your different play styles. Because again, restricting stuff in one of the most open games that's ever existed is a weird flex if they were to try to do that.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot, how we really enjoy when these games are more open and allow you to kind of break things, even accidentally.
Yeah, for sure.
Then, you know, just keeping you in a very specific direction. Everything has to work a certain way.
Right.
So there's a response to this. Actually, Sir Scooter goes on. It's the same person. Not always to craft it, but different ways to shape the way it looks. So it's not like everyone has the same soul sword almost. So yeah, this could be everything from leveling up certain perks that the sword gets, to forming it in different ways, to how do you manifest it, to how do you wield it, to what does it look like. And Heck, you could even have ways of your character uncovering more of the history of the Yakudins that then give you, like, maybe you find some scrolls of some ancient master who now you can turn your soul from being blue to flaming red, you know, or whatever.
I actually really like the potential of this. This could be really cool. And it's just like, you know, everybody likes customization these days. So, like, if that could be your customization aspect where it's like, yeah, no, you customize, like, you make your sword singing sword, quote unquote, yours with however you want. Oh, you know, it's somehow stealth based or something like that, or, yeah, you know, magic based or whatever the case. That's just got the potential to be really cool and make it very unique if there are lots of options on what to do with it. I think that could be really interesting.
Yeah, it could be. We got some other good, right? Thank you everybody for joining us for the live stream today. So the Wine Queen, going back to this idea of learning it as a technique, talks about Arya from A Song of Ice and Fire and how she learned water dancing from Cirio Pharrell and was able to use that. It's clearly a different series, a different fantasy, but it's similar to this idea of taking and learning something from another culture, another individual, and then incorporating it into yourself in order to do that. Again, just like the Thum. Weather Dragon says, and this is cool, what if you let a Daedric Prince claim your soul and so your Shihai takes on corrupted attributes depending on the prince? This came up a little bit, I think, in our chat about how, like, this could be like your manifestation of a Molek Bal soul weapon would be very different than a Meridia one. You know, that seems cool.
Yeah, no, I love the idea of, like, who you align with and all that stuff having some type of tangible effect. It never really lived up to the hype that it was supposed to be, but kind of like with the way, Mass Effect a little bit, but like with Fable, if anybody remembers on the original Xbox, or I guess there was two 360 versions, but it was really the original Xbox where it was like, I remember my roommate and I in college played the game completely differently, where he was a goody goody and I was like evil incarnate. and our characters looked completely different. And like whenever he would walk places, he was like, oh, dude, there's like flowers springing up under me.
Oh, and yeah. Everyone's cheering for you and saying, there's our guy, well, you know, or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I was like, I have burnt cinders under my feet and my character has devil horns. And he was like, wow, that is really weird that it's actually like that detailed and like the difference. And that didn't even live up to it. So like think, like have that type of thing affect your attributes and like visually have it show what you're aligned with. And it's like, oh yeah, and you know, we had mentioned kind of like you said the Aedra thing, but it's like they could do so much with that. I feel
absolutely, I would love your decisions to manifest on your body, or not just the decisions you can make and who you can talk to, which is always fun, but you know, like maybe you gain scars, you know, it's the Renegade Paragon kind of thing from Mass Effect, you know, like manifesting that too. So yeah, that would definitely be cool. Here, let's move on to the next one. This one is from Malkawi. Words are hard. Why are you trying to associate sword singing with shout or song? Swords singing is more like making the sword sings, which means emitting a sound with specific effects like stun, ignore defense, or a sword aura energy that makes more damage. And you seem to ignore the fact that the Red Guards learn their arts, magic, technology, martial arts from the left-handed elves, which are rumored coming from another Kalpa, which can lead to new discoveries. Okay, so this is two different things. So let's talk about the first one first. This idea that it's emitting a sound with specific effects like stun, ignore, defense. So
this kind of plays off what we were talking about, where it's just not, it's like the effect of it, not necessarily literally singing. So it's like, again, I kind of like that as a possibility for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that could be part of it as well. I'm not saying it has to be one way or the other. I think that sure, maybe that is a thing. Now, this second piece of this I found particularly interesting because I hadn't heard this. I don't know where this comes from. You seem to ignore the fact that the Red Guards learn their arts from the left-handed elves. Now, before this episode, I dug into this as best I could. I can't find a source for that lore.
I was going to say, now I know that there were issues with the left-handed elves.
Yes, and the left-handed elves were more magical and the Yakudins were more martial. Like, correct. There is information we know about that. Also, I don't doubt that there's speculation the left-handed elves come from a previous Kalpa, although once you get into Kalpa stuff, now we're talking the edges of confirmed or non-confirmed lore. There's a lot of speculation around Kalpas and how that worked. Specifically to this idea that the Yakudans learned a lot of their culture from them, I don't know if you have a source for that. I would love to learn more about that
either,
because I don't know where that comes from.
I don't know about that I'm just unaware of anything like that.
Maybe this is a good learning moment for us. Maybe you know something we don't. Yeah. So please share some context and some actual sources. Like if you have an in-game book or you have a conversation that you can link to, the UESP keeps a track of a lot of this stuff. So if there's something on there somehow I didn't find yet, please let us know.
I mean,
we would love to delve into that a little bit more.
There, to the left-handed elves, because like we said, I mean, they were at odds and wars, and you know, maybe continents were sunk over it. It's a lot related to it for sure. I never heard that specifically, so I'd be curious if there is something like to that I just don't know about.
And if there is, to have something like, I don't know, like we have a snow elf that comes back in Skyrim, like to have a left-handed elf show up somewhere and to confirm more of that history would be really cool in the game. So I don't know. Here, let's move on to the next one. This was from Mousa the 14. Yes, exactly. You got it. I always thought it was like the sounds of a sword as it moves. Like sword singing is kind of like sword dancing. You move in a certain way and it whooshes, sings in certain ways and creates certain effects. It's about technique. So this is, again, another one of those perspectives with somebody who's like, hey, I really like the idea of the like movement of the sword and the martial arts side of it.
So, yeah. 100%. And I think that's something that there is a strong likelihood that they could go into something like that and make it not specifically singing necessarily. I totally think that's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they would be smart to design this in a way that works for whatever your character build is and doesn't shoehorn you into like one thing. If your character even can do this, as opposed to this is just maybe even some background lore, who even knows, right? Like that's where we're at here.
Sure. Yeah, assuming we can interact with it.
Yeah. Weather Dragon says, I definitely think the Yakudans got most, if not all, the religion from the Sinestral Elves. It's very elf-like. I think that there's reasons to say that that's a possibility. I don't know. Until we have some harder evidence, then it's really, everything's really just headcanon, you know?
mainly because Yakuta itself is so limited on what we know, other than like some kind of tangential stuff, like we've mentioned, or has been brought up even in chat right now. There were definitely some scenarios, but we don't know that much about the left-handed elves for the most part, or too much of Yakuta itself. So I think all of this has potential for sure to like be true, partly true, whatever. More so, it's just like, I'd be curious if there's actually anything that maybe I just don't know about that the game confirms it or something like that, since interesting idea, I've just never heard it before.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp, but I mean, if it's true and there's source for that, very cool. It'd be really cool to continue to learn more about that. We just had the best weekend. My daughter came and visited, and I wanted to have an experience that everybody would have a blast with and remember for a long time. So I loaded up the I Expect You to Die trilogy on our MetaQuest 3 VR headset, and oh my gosh, we had so much fun. And you might be thinking, I Expect You to Die, wait, what does that mean? Well, imagine being a retro spy in a world that's trying to murder you on every mission, and you have to figure out how to get through the puzzles, how to not get shot by lasers, how to launch a car out of the back of an airplane. That is the first thing you do in the first game, and my son was able to complete that quest. Later on, when we got to the third game, we were setting off explosives in an underwater base. We used Chromecast to project it up on the TV, and we all played together. One person would put the headset on, and they'd look around, and they'd try to figure out the puzzles, while the rest of us would say, well, look over there, and what did that note say? And we figured it all out. It was like having an escape room in our living room for the entire weekend. We'd take breaks and go out for dinner, and then we'd get home, and I'd say, what do you guys want to do? And they're like, let's play more of I Expect You to Die. And I was like, holy crap, this is so much fun.
Oh, and believe me, they died, but they also figured out the puzzles. And the settings and the characters were hilarious and really well done. There's like a storyline that goes from the first game to the second game and then to the third, and you're Agent Phoenix and they keep trying to kill you, but you keep coming back. It's such a great time. And I've been a fan of this game for a while. This was just my first opportunity to play it with her and everybody in the house at the same time. But what's really cool is that they're sponsoring the podcast, and they've decided to give our listeners, for the next 60 days, 45% off with the code you can use on your MetaQuest account. So put in Elder Rising, capital E, capital R, Elder Rising, -8904FC. Again, Elder, capital E, Rising, capital R, all one word, -8904, capital F, capital C. 45% off this amazing experience. It's not even just a game, it's an experience. Go pick it up, and if you can't remember the code, it'll be in the description, so don't worry. Oh, and believe me, I expect you to die and have an awesome time doing it.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Next one on our list is from Cornelius707, who says, it originated in Yakuta, which is probably why the place was leveled, and they had to leave due to overpower scaling and infighting. It's really the ability to manifest something from your soul. Like, imagine if Jordan, being as good at basketball that he could actually soar through the sky, or if Tom Brady could throw actual lasers. This analogy is wonderful.
I really enjoy that, where Michael Jordan's like literally Air Jordan. Where
he right, right. He just flies.
Yes. Just objectively Air Jordan at that point.
In game, it will be very similar to the Thume and Starborn powers, I'm guessing. Yeah, I think that the precedent of the Thume and Starborn powers show where the studio is going. They're going, okay, yes, that's, people want powers that make them different from other people in this world. Let's give them something special.
Yeah, and I guess just in case that wasn't clear why we were kind of, because again, I think the sword singing, as in like the sword sings, like, or it sounds like it's singing in the air. Yes, I think logically that makes total sense, and I think that's possible. But the reasoning that we have mentioned, the concept of it being a literal form of singing to some degree, is that superpower aspect, which, I mean, it's just prevalent in all of the games, and outside of lore and from a gameplay standpoint, it seems like they're just going in that direction. So I'm going on what they keep going with. And right, since that seems like a popular trend there, I assume they're going to double down on it going forward.
Yeah. I guess the other perspective on this is, even if it's not singing with your own voice, making the sword sing in certain ways through the use of certain martial arts forms or that specific weapon that you manifest from your soul, the movement of the sword sings and therefore still commands some sort of superpower, like a Thume, or like, in Starfield, which still plays into both. Like, it could be, the answer could be yes and.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. Does not need to be a yes or no. Could be yes and.
Mm-hmm. Or, what was the weird cartoon with the actual singing sword? The one that, do you remember this? It's like a Disney cartoon. It wasn't Disney. It was something else. But the sword was like, it was a Disney. There was a Disney cartoon where the sword would like sing, and it was like, it was back from like the 1960s or something.
Why do I have no concept hilarious for what this is?
Somebody comment and let me know what this was. The cartoon with the singing
sword.
Somebody
tell me what the hell Tom is talking about.
This was a thing. All right. Onward. Falk87-KF87 says, I don't really want sword singing to be a central mechanic in The Elder Scrolls 6, assuming it's set in Hammerfell, because I don't think it makes sense for non-Redguard to wield this power. I want it to be in the game for sure, but maybe not as the main power. So this goes on to that idea of, this is something that the Red Guard have, as is tradition in the lore, and this person doesn't want to see that expanded out from that as a culture.
Which,
at least based on this one
comment. Like, I'd just rather it be like a Red Guard specific power. That I can understand more than like it has to be a Red Guard specific power, and more in favor of, I'd rather if it was just a Red God power type of deal.
Yeah. Well, and at the in the places of the timeline that we've played the games, whether in the second century in ESO or in the other mainline games, third or fourth century, it doesn't exist at all. Like, historically, yes, it was a Red Guard power. But sure. If it doesn't exist at all and no one can do it, it's a nobody power. So
there's like, also that.
There's also that. So maybe if it is set in Hammerfell and maybe there is historical lore and scrolls or locations and history and people you talk to and you learn more about sword singing, but it doesn't actually manifest as anything because it just doesn't come back. It's just not a thing at all. That could be possible. I don't feel like that's as likely, but it could be a thing.
Right. And honestly, like, sort of in that situation, that I can understand more solely because, like, there are several things that the series doesn't really do anymore that I'm kind of like, oh, man, I wish they would or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's not really that I dislike it because it's not the case, but, like, and some of it's just like, oh, man, I liked when it was, I guess, I don't want to say darker, but, like, I feel like some of the stuff for Elder Scrolls Online recently has been a little more, like, tame. Maybe not quite as 90s as some of the old games were, but, like, some of the darker aspects of the series, which are not meant to be positives, I think are a good contrast, and a lot of times they can be kind of problematic to deal with, so I get why they don't necessarily want to deal with them, but I feel like it did add a different element to the series, and I preferred it having some of those elements, even if they were unsavory, if you follow what I mean.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, Divoth Fear's background is pretty screwed up.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe it doesn't.
Or what's the shirtless guy from Morrowind? What was his name?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. exactly. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, stuff like that, where it's just like some of these more highly problematic characters actually ended up adding an element to the series in some ways that I think are beneficial, where, again, they're not a positive, but their existence is a positive to the series.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think it fleshes out the world in a more realistic way to have some very dark things. Yeah, there's a difference between, like, reveling in that darkness and making everything weird and creepy and just like, hey, sometimes people are weird. And
do
terrible things.
Argue more often than not.
Yeah, yeah. So we're having a chat. The chat is talking about the Frank Sinatra's ghost sword in Roger Rabbit. It might be the one in Roger Rabbit I'm thinking of. In the Nightly Night, Bugs Bunny has a singing sword. There's a talking axe in Beauty and the Beast Enchanted Christmas. I don't know that I've ever saw that.
Wow. These are some deep lore cuts right here. Really we're coming to.
There you go. Yeah, so other singing weapons. All right, let's keep moving. We've got a few more of these. This one is from Brighton. This is on our Discord. If you're looking for a link to the Discord, it's always in our show notes. You can always link that. You can even just search Robots Radio Discord. It'll pop up a little. Hey, here's you go. Click on it. Here's you go. Click on it. Those are words came out of my mouth.
You did mention words are hard.
Words are hard. I always have to mention that. If you speak as much as I do doing these three and plus shows.
Yeah, the words get harder the more you use them, which is weird.
All right, so Brighton says, I hope fast traveling in the new game involves sword singing to cut the distance shorter. This became an interesting conversation on the Discord. I was like, okay, so what do you mean by that? And they're like, basically they're suggesting that you could use the magic of sword singing to cut through the air and create portals to other places.
I think, yes, I saw that one on the Discord too. I actually caught that one the other day when I was supposed to be doing something else. I just happened to open it. I was like, ooh, and I was like reading that. That's an interesting way of, I like the idea of making it so that fast travel is like a built-in game mechanic, which I think is always cool when something for convenience is made as a result. Like the convenience aspect is explained via the game. I always think that's really cool when games take the time to do something like that. It's not just like, well, this is here because otherwise it's annoying. And it's like, well, yes, that may be the case, but if you can write it into, again, the biggest explanation the series has is Dragon Breaks. Mm-hmm. How do we explain multiple endings in the actual series? Oh, we're going to come up with this concept of Dragon Breaks. I love that. So having a way to explain the ability to fast travel rather than just like, I got on a horse and cart, which you can pay for.
Right.
But like, when you don't do that, like if you don't actually pay to use a horse or like a traveling cart, it's just like, and you traveled because you traveled. Like type of thing.
Yeah, just I guess you walked the distance. Now you're over here.
Right.
Yeah, but you must have had no experiences because you didn't gain experience.
Because
you
didn't get wounded.
And you didn't find new items. Nothing changed.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, Boethia has a Daedric artifact. That's a blade that can tear open portals. Well, there you go. That's similar idea. I guess I don't know how you would connect that to sword singing, unless maybe that's the special power you get from Boethia.
Boethia's
quest. Yeah, something like that. But then how do you fast travel outside of that? I don't know. There'd be other stuff you'd have to figure out for that one. Next on our list, this is from Crown. Who writes, he's the host of the 10th Divine.
Crown.
Yeah. Hey, Crown. I really liked some of their things from the patron chat, but what if it's more important to the story? What if the rise of the Swordsingers is due to the rise of Yakuta? Secretly, the sunken continent has been surviving under the ocean, seeing the plight of Hammerfell and their Redguard cousins. They've been hiding in plain sight, teaching all who are willing to learn to drive back the Altmer and the Thalmor. Could be like the season, it's the new mechanic. So, one of the things about Yakuta is that I think it's pretty, at least everything about Yakuta is on some level of speculation because it's hearsay and stories from the past, period.
Right.
We haven't secondly, yet. Some of the hearsay is that not everything is sunk, that there may still be islands or partial parts of that continent that are still above water. So that could be the case that people are still there and that culture has continued on. But in this perspective, they would somehow have survived under the water. I mean, this feels like a Maomer kind of thing, like
that water. Or their filthy slodes.
Or slodes, and I don't know how that stuff works. Unless
under the sea, just making slode soap this whole time.
Yeah, I don't know. But the idea that like this is something that does happen in the lore, that we have proof that cultures from other continents have come over. The Akaviri is an example. The migration of the Nords from
North
at Mora.
The Nord one.
The Nord one. Yeah. So like you do have migrations of people, like obviously the Red Guard came from Yakuta, but since then, sometimes there are secondary migrations or the movement of the Akaviri over and trying to conquer things or whatever. Heck, even the Imperials trying to go to Akavir. So yeah, Atmor. Words.
Sure.
Too many A names. They all jump around in my brain. So maybe there's some sort of something about that. We also do sometimes see in Elder Scrolls games secondary locations that take you somewhere else, like going to Sovereign Guard or going to an expansion that takes you to a separate island somewhere or something like that. So to have something like the main game take place on the main continent and then an expansion all take you to Yakuta could be a thing.
That would be interesting. For the most part, I feel like we will always... My thought is we are not going to be leaving the main continent for a main game at any point. However, expansions, like you said, kind of anything's free game, whether you're going to Oblivion, whatever. So I could definitely see that like being kind of freaky expansion afterwards or something like
ESO that. ESO does it all the time.
With their
chapters and the things that a lot of those will end up in weird places. So maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
This one comes from Erdal Thren. I may be off base, but the idea of sword singing seems so Lord of the Rings to me, like how the power and magic in the singing itself is the sword rather than conjuring a specific weapon. I don't know. I'm riffing. So this is a reference. I do the Lord of the Rings lorecast as well. In the Lord of the Rings lore, if you go far enough back in time, there are moments where combat took place through poetry and song rather than through the wielding of weapons, because it was more of a contest of your spirit and less of a physical contest. This is a thing that Tolkien dabbled with. So I won't go too much into the details. Go check out the other podcast. There's lots of info about that on there. But that's kind of going back to the not martial, more magical side of it.
Yep, for sure.
You're not a fan of just like a sing battle.
Yeah, that sounds kind of cringe to me personally, but whatever. It doesn't all need to be about what I want, but that does sound like,
you know what, like 8 Mile in your Elder Scrolls 6.
I was about to say, I don't know if I really want a rap battle for my Elder Scrolls 6, but you know, maybe I'm in the minority on that one. Who knows?
Yeah, or some beat poetry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's, we'll go with that.
Whoa,
yeah,
man. No, whoa, that man.
That
somebody's going to get that reference. Yeah, snaps.
And then snaps. I feel like if I actually snap, it'll like pop in the mic, so I'm not actually going to snap. Yeah. But yeah, I again, that sounds less like something I would want, but at the same time, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's totally fine.
It's fine. Who knows? Who knows? I don't think they'll get too wacky and weird with it.
I don't either, because I've been... Go ahead. I like some of their weird stuff, and they have definitely... not shied away from, they've tried to mainstream a lot of stuff mixed with some of the weird stuff. The old, like Morrowind is just weird.
Yes.
But at the same time, they don't totally shy away from it all the time either, because the Shivering Isles was just weird. So like they'll still dabble in for sure, but I feel like sometimes they try to keep it a little more tame, at least for the most part.
Yeah. So there has been there have been comments from people who have left the studio saying that like Todd tends to be very weird averse, and that the previous games getting weird stuff in was either because he had less control at the time, or other people just, yeah, the studios were small and people could just kind of sneak some things in and they just showed
exactly
up. Like the Lusty Argonian Maid was not something that was greenlit by Todd Howard. It was something that a developer snuck in and it just kind of ended up. But those are some of people's favorite. I think a little bit of weird is good.
That's my thing, is I feel like an appropriate amount of weird is the perfect mix.
It can't be everything, because then nothing's weird. It has to be like, most of this isn't weird, but then, there's also weird sometimes.
Yes, exactly. It's a fine line, I feel, to walk the weird levels.
Hercene says, they call me the Fresh Prince of Oblivion. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe this is going to create all sorts of crazy YouTube content. Maybe they'll add it in. All right. One more last comment we have is from Boko Hunter. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. Not really a mechanic, but if the Elder Scrolls 6 does have to do with sword singing, what if it has something to do with the coming of the Ansai? As in, like Skyrim, the last Dragonborn, you, the player, are the last Ansai. What does it even mean to be an Ansai? Or possibly you are helping the last Ansai, you're not the main hero, and throughout the game, they teach you various sword singing techniques. Yeah, you're hitting on a lot of the same stuff that we were hitting on too. I don't know if they're going to do two games back to back where you are the last special something.
Yeah, you're I feel the last like that's Dragonborn. Treading you're a the... little too similar ground, but who knows? I will say though, I mean, one of the things in our episode where we discuss the storylines and stuff like that, of like we rank the storylines of the different games, one thing that I thought was really cool and pretty unique for the most part is that you are not the main character in Oblivion. You are the supporting cast, and then in the expansion you have your moment to be the main character, which I'm like, dude, that is weird. You are never not the main character in things, so it's like, that's kind of interesting. So
you are a catalyst, but you are not the main character. You're not the like special one. You're not the chosen one so much as you are.
You are just there being helpful, and you are super good at that.
But the chosen one couldn't have done what they did if it wasn't for you. So you are still super important, just in a kind of different way.
Tangential way.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that. So like, granted, it would be a little less novel because we just explained a game where they did that already, but it would be kind of neat to have you be, again, well, okay, you're not the last Ansai, or you actually don't have this. So like, you're supporting somebody that does, or something like that is interesting. Like I said, a little less novel because we just explained the exact scenario in Oblivion, but I would be fine with it somehow being you not the important or the chosen one or something like that, because that is pretty well trodden ground.
Well, there is one difference between the lineage of Dragonborn and the lineage of Ansai. The lineage of Dragonborn still happens. There are still Dragonborn emperors. Yes. There are still Dragonborn just out in the world places. You being the last of that, it's not even a direct line. I don't know that it's even genetically handed down so much as it is. I mean, we've debated this about the line of emperors and things like that, but it doesn't seem very necessary that you have to have been born from another dragonborn to have that power. Maybe it can go that way, but it doesn't seem necessary.
Not a requirement.
Right. But in that case, there's this line and then you're the end of the line. Whereas the end of the line of the Ansai already happened. That's like, supposedly right. That's done. So in this case, you may not be the last, you might be the first of the reemergence of that.
And that could be interesting.
Maybe that comes through the regaining of knowledge that was lost. Maybe that comes through training and learning again how to train and then sharing that with others. I mean, we even speculated in that episode about like, what if you had companions and you could teach them the way of sword singing and then they could augment your powers together when you fight as a group? You know, like maybe this is maybe
make your own quartet.
Yeah, maybe this is what people thought Star Wars was going to be, with like Luke starting a new Jedi line and, you know, bringing it back. And that didn't really happen in the movies, but you get where we're saying. Yeah, Luke Skywalker of the Ansai. Yeah, something like that could be similar enough and yet still different. So that could be a possibility. So, all right. Well, those are all of the comments. Thank you, everybody, for chiming in and sharing your thoughts.
I love the variant ideas or the things that you found different or that you liked about our stuff. That was a lot more feedback than I expected out of all of those. So that was fun.
Yeah, this has been a very popular topic. And so we're going to continue, of course, with other cool lore topics in the future. But especially thank you to everyone who has had mature and like rational conversations, respectful conversations. Thank you for proving that the internet isn't completely a terrible place where everyone just yells at each other just because they have different ideas about things.
And I actually read those as opposed to the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's something that we have cherished about our community, and especially on the Discord. Everybody who chimes in on things tends to be very, very nice. And if they aren't, they don't last very long. They tend to go away because people don't argue. They just are like, well, you're an idiot.
well, that's sort of the thing, which is interesting about this type of show or I don't know, topic, is people get real passionate about lore in video games or fiction just in general. And it's kind of interesting because, like you said, a lot of this is, it can be pretty contentious to a level that's like kind of removes the fun from it, which sucks.
Right.
And that's not really the case with a lot of what we do. It just ends up being that people actually sort of do just enjoy discussing it, whether we agree, disagree, whatever. We have a lot more just like fun discussions about it than I tend to see in other communities. So appreciate that, because it does. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, I think that's totally on point. And also from my perspective, I don't need Elder Scrolls 6 lore to be a certain thing to enjoy the game. I need the game to be fun.
And that's my thing,
right? Like, just make me a fun game and make sure that the lore has some justification that, you know, makes sense. But like, it doesn't have to. Like, I think a lot of times people cut themselves off from the enjoyment of things because they define in their heads that if it's not this one thing, I will hate it. And the chances of it being that one thing exactly the way that you speculate it to be often isn't the case. And then you cut yourself off from things. Well, now I hate that thing. And it's like, yeah, but there's 100 other reasons to love it. So why are you stealing from yourself? What are you doing?
Right, you could be enjoying this.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I'll get off my little soapbox. But thank you everybody for joining us. We've got some patrons to, actually we don't have any new patrons this week. Nobody else has signed up in the last week because the most recent patron who signed up, but come join us, patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. You get ad-free episodes, you get t-shirts and stickers, you can join us for our patron chats, you can get get on the show, all sorts of fun things. And also we have to shout out our Dragonborn patrons. You guys get shout outs every week. Kira C, Peter R, and Austin B, thank you so much for your support. And thank you to everyone who takes the time to leave a 5-star review. If you leave a new 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out. You'll get your words on the show. And you can also share the show with other people. And I'm sure over the next few years, as we get closer and closer to Elder Scrolls 6, that there's going to be more discussions like this. And if you want to be part of a community that is respectful, that just loves enjoying things and talking with each other, come join us. Also, before we go, we have to do our random page. I just pulled it up. You can see it flash in my face as the lighting on my monitor changes. So the UESP random page of the day is, I just click the button. This is from Elder Scrolls Online, places, Western Skyrim homes. Greetold's house.
All right.
Greetold's house is the two-story house of Greetold in Morthal. The front door is protected by a simple lock, and there is a simple safe box on the second floor. Residence, Greetold. That's it.
Well, at least it matches the name.
Yeah. Oh, wait. There is one other small detail. There is a crafting station here, a cooking fire. So in case you need somewhere to cook.
Okay, so you can make some lunch.
You can visit Greetold and make some lunch.
I like it. I like it a lot.
There you go. All right, everybody. Thanks for being here. Lotus, you have anything you want to share before we head out?
No, we were actually planning on trying to get an episode of Tales out, but then we had the Writhing Wall event details start coming out. So we actually held off a little bit. We'll have an episode of Tales of Tamriel coming up for everybody this coming weekend once we have our information on it. Really just a lot of Elder Scrolls Online stuff at the moment on some new stuff. We've never had an event like the Writhing Wall before, so I want to dive deep into it so that everybody kind of has a good run through before it goes live on October 13th.
It's coming up 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from
close.
Well, what, 11 days from our current day today as we record this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Days are hard too.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, so people know we've dabbled in when these episodes go up. Typically we record these on Thursday nights and then we try to put them up on Fridays, but that means I just edit right after the show and get it up. And if there's any delays at all, there's no margin there. Like if Lotus or I have something come up, we have to record on the weekend, then the show doesn't go up on Friday for everyone. So I've decided we've dabbled with this a little bit in previous episodes. You may have noticed this, but episodes now are going to go up on Mondays. They give us a little bit of extra time to make sure everything's set before putting the episodes up. So set your expectations to episodes being available for everyone on Mondays and for patrons on Sunday. You can listen to this on the weekend. So there you go. Also, if you want to check out my other shows, the Fallout Lorecast and the Lord of the Rings Lorecast and the new project I'm working on, I know I keep hinting at this. We're trying to bank enough stuff so that we can actually make sure that everything comes out and rolls out really well. So I'll have more news on that in the future. And thanks again for joining us, everybody. Chat, this has been wonderful. I love all the comments and everything. We'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.